I'm glad to be amongst you again after 3.5 months. We are all children of God, you see. God is our light, and we are also light, being children of light. But our light is enveloped by so many coverings, and we are identified in the covering so much of, with the covering so much of, that we have forgotten also. The cause of identification is the attention, which is the expression of our soul. They are, through the outgoing faculties, diffused in the outside world. So we have got, as a man, this man-body, a very wonderful house in which we live in. This is considered to be the highest in all creation. And all masters spoke very highly about it. They said, it is next to God. We are divine in nature. We are spirit in man. As spirit is eternal, we are also eternal. Why we fear that we will die? But this greatness of our own, which is innate in us, we have forgotten. So all masters say, well, just realize the Godhood in you, which already exists. You have not to put in from outside. When a master meets, he does not put in anything from outside within you. He simply, your attention, which is the expression of soul and diffused in the world, helps you to withdraw from outside and come to its source, which is our own soul, at the back of the eyes, where our soul is withdrawn from the body and go to the back, where? To the back of the eyes at the time of death. If we can do that, well, we realize that we are no other than God. So when the masters come, they say, we are in a very pitiable state. We are living in a house where so many outgoing faculties are working. They were meant to serve us. But unfortunately, they, instead of serving us, they are having control over us. They are dragging us like anything. Take the outgoing faculty of sight. Ever since we are born, from that date onward till this time, we have been, our attention has been diffused through the eyes, to the outside things. So many impressions we have been receiving through the eyes, they are counted to be about 80%. And some are coming from other outgoing faculties. Next comes the audition. And the remaining, that is about 14% from the ears. The remaining 6% come to other outgoing faculties. So now what happens, you see, when you see something, we are attracted like anything. We receive impressions through the eyes, through the ears, and from other sources as well. So much so that our subconscious reservoir is overflowing with the impressions we have been receiving all through life. When even we go to dream, they react there. So if we know how to withdraw or liberate ourselves from the outgoing faculties, there is some hope. But our soul is first under the control of mind. Soul and mind have become one. They are called jivas. Soul is eternal, as I told you before, being one substance only. Consciousness, but coming in contact with mind, it has become the dua. So both combined, being dragged to the outside things, to the outgoing faculties, we are identified with them so much so that we have left no idea of our own self. We are souls, not mind too. Take the example of water. It is made of two gases, oxygen and hydrogen. Oxygen, you know, is life-giving. When a man is dangerously sick, they say, well, I'll give him a cylinder, oxygen cylinder. And hydrogen gas, chokes our throat. Two different things when combined together form water, the quality of which is different from the two. Similarly, we are eternal spirit in man. Combined with mind, we have become the doers. And whatever we sow, so shall we reap. So Master says, be still. What they meant? Physically and intellectually. Then you will know that no other than the God within you. So this is the true state of affairs, you might say, in which we are going. We do not know how to liberate ourselves. Outgoing faculties are so strong that in spite of our wishing it, we cannot do it. When we become helpless and we cry, what does it happen? We are souls, as I told you, children of God. God is our true father. He sees my child as unhappy. He himself cannot have himself come up to me, cannot be liberated. When a man is himself bound hand and foot, how can he open, I mean, lose himself from that binding? There must be somebody who is not bound. A bound man cannot unbound the other man. So you'll find somebody is required who has unbound himself. He has been drawn in attention from the outside things and the control that the outgoing faculties had on it, liberated it, then analyzed from mind, then man knows I've got the same God. And further, it is environed by so many casings, you might say, coverings, that is physical, astral, causal, supercausal. Unless we liberate all these things, we cannot know, truly speaking, about our own self, although we begin to see. When we first withdraw from outside and rise from this iron curtain of the physical body, we see we are not the physical body. There, that God begins to shine within us. We become conscious of it. And as we progress further, we liberate from the astral and causal coverings, we become more and more conscious of that, until we become one. Because after all, we are light. The light is just analyzed from all other things. Naturally, light just is absorbed in the grander light. Just take the example of a candle, you see. When it is burning, put it straight, the flame will go up. Even you put it, you know, downward, even then the flame will go up. So our soul being light, you see, they always try to go to the source, great source of light, which is called God. That God which came into expression, all scriptures tell us, when God wished, there was flow, there was light. So we are spark of that light. So you'll find me about this man body, a wonderful house in which you're living. Here God gave us servants to help us, but they are revolting. They, instead of following us, obeying us, they are dragging us outside. And what things come in the way, you see, to which our these outgoing faculties drag us, they are pleasures. To whom? To the soul plus mind, the dua, which is called jiva. So unless we get more bliss in that than what we are having now, we cannot leave the outside things. So God has made arrangements, you see. Outside things, players with daggers, they can be divided in two parts. One very beautiful scene, sceneries, beautiful things. When you see any beautiful scenery, any beautiful thing, our attention is drawn. And the second, when we hear very sweet symphonies of the music, we are drawn like anything. These are two outside two things are the potent things which drag us outside. So God has more bliss, more happiness, more joy, more sweet symphonies of the music of the spheres. All glory and beauty lies within us. Only if we know how to withdraw from outside. We've got a great treasure within us. God is a hidden treasure with all beauty, with all sweet symphonies within us, but we do not know how to be invert down from withdraw from outside and enjoy that. This is the state of affairs we have in. As a man, we are all one. Now, just take the example of a house where the mistress is there, and there are 10 servants given to help her, and they revolt. Instead of obeying, they are disobeying everything. Now what will be the fate of the house? Everything tops its away. If the servants are obeying, the house will be clean, everything is set in order. Even in darkness you go, you will see what is what. Otherwise what happens? The tables are upturned, there is no way out, it is all darkness already. You pass on, you just tumble over one thing, that far the other way, there is no light to see. So that is the two conditions we are having. So Master tells us, first of all, how to have control over these outgoing faculties. They tell us. Not only tell us, but demonstrate to us how to withdraw, how to give you a contact with all beauty, all glory which is within you. Maybe for a while, when you begin to have it the very first day, how to withdraw from outside, first thing, that is difficult. As I told you, we are so much out of impressions within us overflowing, that even in dream those come out in the form of dreams. Naturally, when you sit in meditation, try to something coming up, of which you never dream of it. But those are the impressions which you have been receiving all through life. unconnected. So that is the first difficulty that we have. For that, Master come, they tell us where you get these impressions, how to control it, how to stop to receive impressions from outside. Then, first thing is to enter this house. These, I tell you honestly, the servants had bound the mistress, you see, one dragging this side, the other dragging that way. Result is all house is topsy-turvy in the darkness in the house. So when you come to your master, what does he do? He, since he gives you this teaching, demonstrates it, how to be dark. First, your attention from outside, first enter in the laboratory of the man body, and then how to liberate from the outgoing faculties of senses and rise above it for a while and give you contact with it. Of whom? God. What is God? God is light. God is life. And God is love. You see light. You are given some experience of light, little or more. We feel consciousness. We feel little separate from the body. We begin to see. Now we say it in my body, but we do not see it. Differentiate it practically. Then really he says, oh well, this is something else, like a coat to be taken off, to be put off. And naturally, God is love and love. We are doves of the ocean of all love. Naturally, love is innate in us. That sprouts forth. And as it comes in contact with that God into expression power, which is light and sound principle, it overflows. So this is state of affairs. This is the disease, you might say, or the affairs that we have to set right. For this purpose, we have done various schools of thought. Religions are means to the end. They are the schools of thought in which we have joined. Who are we? We are children of light. Just under the control of mind and outgoing faculties, we are identified with body and outside things so much so that we have forgotten our own self. What to speak of that great power which is controlling each one of us in the man body? Otherwise, we could have run away out of it. We cannot. Their eyes, two eyes open, two ears open, two nostrils open, mouth is there. But we cannot run away out of it. That's the controlling power within us. So for a while, when some master comes, what is the function of a master? And what is he? He's a man like you. Of course, outwardly. He's got the same two eyes, two ears, two hands, two feet. He talks like you. He is also to maintain the body. He does other functions on the world too, but he's conscious of his divine nature. He is conscious co-worker with the divine plan. Although he works at the level of man to help them as a man. So, this is what we have to overcome. For schools of thought and religions were made for the purpose to solve this mystery of life. To be out of this entanglement, obliviousness altogether. We do not know who we are. A little child knows better than us. You ask him who you are, he opens his eyes, opens his mouth, he feels somewhere here. As he grows in years, older, you ask him, he says, I am Mr. Such and Such. Further, he says, I am a Christian, I am a Hindu, I am a Mohammedan. Again, further, I am American, I am French, I am German, I am Indian. Who is he? He is conscious being, you see. That we have forgotten. We go so far away from our own selves that we have forgotten our own selves. So masters come tell us, they address us either as a man, from the level of a man, O man, awake. Are from the level of the soul, conscious being, O children of light, awake. You are asleep. Being under the control of mind, your attention is diffused into the world and identified outside. You are awakened outside and asleep within. And God power is already within you, awaiting for you. Your true home is the true home of your Father. That is of all consciousness, all wisdom. Why are you stuck out in this material world and the outside things? These are only temporarily given to you. Body is changing, being made of matter every moment of life. This is the golden opportunity which has been given to us to realize ourselves, to know ourselves, and then know the controlling power which is controlling us in the body and controlling all universe. All masters say like that, of course, in their own language, which was prevalent at the time when they came. By parallel study of religion, you'll find this. These religions were made just to liberate us from all these outer entanglements, to know ourselves and to know God. These were means to the end, that school and college is creditable, from where many students get degrees. But we have joined those very things. We have forgotten the goal. We simply identify ourselves as one religion, belonging to one religion or the other, or one country or the other. There have been religious wars, there have been patriotic wars, in which thousands and millions were here, and are being here. Masters, when they come, they give us teaching from this level, universal level. They consider all children of God, you see, as brothers and sisters in God, because we are maintained, controlled by that high power. So this is the true state of affairs we are going through. So in whatever religion you are, that religion to remain there is a blessing. But to not to attain, achieve this lost godhood, well, you are still bound. So for that purpose, Master tells us what to do. As I told you, the story goes in the old religions, I mean, or the Hindu scriptures. There was one very learned pandit, or the minister, was a Hindu. And there was a king preacher. King preacher, he was called. He used to read out the scriptures day to day, every day morning in the court. And the scriptures say, those who hear the scriptures and act, they are liberated. Liberation is not something to be had after death, but it is to be seen now, whether you are liberated or not. So many times those scriptures were read over from day to day, month to month. One day, that king preacher sat down, thought over it. When I have read in scriptures, whoever hears these scriptures, he is just liberated once for all. But I am bound. Mine is very like a magistrate, you see, tells you why you are bound. If you leave it to him, it is just true. He told the minister, well, look here. I have heard this scripture so many times. Again, I give you a chance to have read the whole of the scripture again, from one end to the other. And after that, if I am not liberated, you will be put to death. What happened? In 7 days, the scriptures were read over throughout. And the last day, he came home, well, lied down in despair, tomorrow is the day of my death. His daughter was very wise, you see. Sometimes, daughters are very wise. They ask, Father, why are you so sad? Well, dear daughter, I am to be put to death tomorrow. Why? because it is laid in scriptures, whoever will read these scriptures in the holiday, naturally are liberated. When I know King is not liberated, nor I am liberated, well, I must be put to death tomorrow. There is no escape from that. And the doctor told me, all right, I will go to the king tomorrow morning and just question him. She went next morning. King asked, why have you come, doctor? Well, I have come to just reply to your question, what you put to my father. What? They are not here. Let us go to the wilderness, all around, you and I. And he also sent for his her father too, and got also two ropes. He tied with one tree, the king, and the other, with the other, his own father. Both were bound with the tree. She came to her father, told, father, will you kindly unbound the king over there? He said, well, I'm bound already, how can I? Then she went to the king, well, king, would you kindly unbound my father? Oh, foolish girl, don't you think I am bound? How can a bound man can unbound the other one? And that is how she wanted, you see. And this is what is happening. We are bound hand and foot by the outgoing faculties. We do not know our own self how to liberate. How can we liberate us? This is a practical question of unbinding, unbounding oneself. So to read scriptures is not sufficient, mind that. To hear the scriptures is also not sufficient. But there must be somebody who can practically demonstrate how to withdraw from outside for a while, how to rise above these shackles of outgoing faculties, open our inner eye, give a contact within, maybe little above. If once we do it again and again by regular practice, will succeed. If at first you don't succeed, then try again. This is what the master does. To give a lecture, to tell you how to say prayers, how to perform certain rites and rituals, that any man can do it after a little time. How to act and pose, how to laugh, how to cry. No. But this is a practical question. Who knows it, who has that experience, is competent, he will give you some experience to start with, maybe little more. And what is wanted there, he wants? Be still. Physically and intellectually. God cannot be known by the outgoing faculties, cannot be known by the intellect, cannot be known by the vital layers or the pranas. It can be known only by the soul, like alone can know the like. When it is liberated, when it is analyzed for mind and outgoing faculties, this is practical. Now intellectually that appears to you, but how to do it? Whatever methods we are having now, reading our scriptures, saying prayers, performing certain rites and rituals, they all relate to the outgoing faculty. And this is something to start when you rise above outgoing faculty. Even with the mind, intellect too, you cannot. Unless you are intellectually still, as a matter of inference, you might draw inference to come to some conclusion. But still the mind is working, intellect is working. Well, we must be intellectually still too. Then a sort of transport arises to the soul and it is out. This is all we have to do. So when a master, someone comes to the master, what does he do? He first, all these 10 servants of the outgoing faculties, 5, audition, sight, smell, taste and touch, working to the sense organs of the ears, eyes, nose, tongue and skin. These are to be controlled. If these are controlled, then the house will be set in order. All, every tell him to do his job. All right, you clean the room, you set chairs in order, you light the candle, everything all right. So this is the first thing to be done. Those who are attached are given up to the outside enjoyments, pleasures, maybe good, excuse me, or bad. Both cannot rise above God. That is why Lord Krishna said, good actions and bad actions, both are binding, like the gold chains or the iron chains. So this is practical. First thing, what we have at the feet of the Master. He gives you how to withdraw from outside for a while, how to rise above body consciousness for a while. One day cannot become an emperor, Rome was not built in a day. But once you get something by regular practice, by obeying his orders, naturally you become an emperor. Man who is reading in the MA class today, sometimes he is reading in the primary. If those who are reading in the primary, they are given the same help and guidance, then they can reach the MA class. That is why it says, every saint has his past, and every sinner, man can change. Even the Descartes, you see, can become saints. Valmiki was a Descartes, I tell you. He became Saint Valmiki. He just related the story of Ramayana 18,000 years before it actually happened. So my point is, there is hope for everybody. There is nothing to be disheartened. Only we have to, what experience is given, we have to develop it without intervention of outgoing faculties and intellect. It does not mean you should not use your intellect. Understand. When you understand, this is then do. Let mind not meddle into it. Because if your mind is just clutching, seeing, here, there, dying in front, the intellect is working. And until you are intellectually still, you cannot take a step further. So this is the first thing we have to do. For that, you are advised to keep a diary for self-introspection. You now realize the necessity. But how many are you who are keeping diaries, maintaining diaries daily? I'm afraid it may not be 10%. That is why, even if we do get something, we do not browse this wonderfully. We must. So this is first thing we learn at the feet of the Master. What is the difference between a Master and an average man? He is a man all the same, and a doctor is a man all the same, like us. But he is known by anatomy, how the system works, how the diseases arise, how can that don't be cured. Similarly, this is a disease we are suffering, you see. Those who are just adept, competent, going himself beyond these bounds, help others to raise them up. Well, such a man is called a Master. The God in him. You know, who can give you contact with God? No son of man can do it. It is the God absolute when it came into expression. You see? When he came down, then he got some teachings of the higher because he had seen it. The Lord is come, he knows almost all the way. In the man body, although in the man body, he is conscious of that. That's the difference between the man and every man and his Master. So he says, when you come to such Master, this is the first thing to be done. And we lack here, I tell you honestly. We are given some experience, but we don't live up to it. Dragged away by the outside prayers, knowing that God is within us, the priceless jewel, priceless pearl, but we cannot leave off this dross of the outside. Tagore, poet of international fame, says, O God, I see, there is a great wealth in you, but I cannot throw away the filth of the dross of this body. Knowing fully well, we do realize intellectually. And all masters who say, what do they say? They say, God first and world next. And what do we say? We say world first and God will come after. Truly speaking, we are not after God, we are after world. We pray God, why? Most of us, we want worldly things. Had that not been the competency of God, nobody would have thought of God too, you see. A weaker man prays before some stronger person. So whatever goes out from the heart of our hearts, he is there already. He's watching our every action. Ask and it shall be given unto you. This is what all masters said. So this is the first thing, and press, live much. Press on that very world. I've been requesting, directing, read. I've been begging of you people through my circulars and verbal talks too. And still if you do not do it, we should. So that's the first thing. What should happen? Now your eyes, you see, when you wish you miss, with your open eyes, you have so much control over your sight. Well, open eye you do not see. This we can develop, you see. Newton was sitting by a roadside, solving certain mathematical problems. He was so much absorbed in these problems that a band passed by him while playing. He did not hear. Why? Until this attention, which is the outcome of our souls, are with the outgoing faculties, these outgoing faculties do not work. Somebody passed by, asked him, well, Newton, has any band passed by this way? No, I don't know. You might have got experience in your own lives, when you are sitting very much absorbed in some thought, somebody calls you, you do not hear. Somebody comes, sits by you and you are absorbed, you don't feel who has come and who is gone. So this is the training of the attention, what is called the Surya Yoga, you see. So when that is set, you see, you might be sitting in hundreds of people and still be all alone. This is what Emerson said. When he wanted all loneliness, he went to an inn, you see. When hundreds come in, hundreds go. Because they have no concern with anybody, they are loved in his own tongue. So if you think that you should leave the world and go to the outside world in the wilderness, there also you've got, you see, animals and trees and everything, your attention will be done outside. The only thing required is to control all outgoing faculties. And how to do it? That you can learn from those who have done it and follow the instruction. So naturally, when everything is set, you might have experience in your life too. When you are cut off from every outside, you feel a sort of rest and peace. At times, not every day, but at times it does. When you are cut off, quite absorbed from everything, you feel a sense of pleasure, rest, bliss, peace. Naturally what happens? We are after having that peace prolonged. Naturally, you see, we are children of light, as I told you, like a candle's flame, its source is up, always wants to go. Even you turn its face downward, even then it will go down. Our soul is of God, you see, of light. It is bound by the outgoing faculties and the body. When it is liberated, it will go up. It is but natural. Then naturally, the true rest comes. How we withdraw our attention from outside, we enter this laboratory of the man body, you see. Just from the burning rays of the sun, when you enter some room, hot, very hot outside, when you enter the air-conditioned room, how feel it? How does you feel? It is something like that. You feel it at rest. Some glimpses, when Master comes, only naughty shows you how to withdraw from outside and enter this laboratory of the man body. But he also shows you how to rise above senses and have some experience. When there is no questioning of mind, when intellect is at rest, naturally that truth becomes refolding. You see light. If you are questioning why this is, why that is not come, then mind is not still. You see? That truth is still. So what you feel, you see, at that time, the experience of God in the form of light and sound. This is first thing. As you rise, the Master gives you an experience first to how to rise above this iron curtain of a man's body. Then as you day-to-day practice, you rise above the astral body, the causal body, the super causal body. You day-to-day more bliss, more joy, everything. Saint Tulsidas, he says when he rose about this body consciousness, reached the causal plane, he had experience of bliss and joy, he thought of where that's the most and the highest of all. And he says when he transcended the causal plane into the super causal and beyond, he thought perhaps this causal plane was only a washing room as compared with, to that. Those who have tasted that bliss, they are here in the world, but they are bound, you see. Masters are going the order, under the orders of God, you see. They want to go back. Once also any of us, when have got some experience like that, we wish to go in there. Now why we don't want to go in there? Because we find joy and bliss and happiness in the outside things. And moreover, we have never cared to analyze, to go into the matter, what it is that gives us bliss in the outside things. We are conscious beings. How a conscious being can have, I mean, bliss or joy or happiness in material things, but do feel. How, why? We are bliss personified. God is all bliss, all happiness, all joy. And we are also in it, this bliss is also in it in us. So long as we are identified with something, for the time being we reflect our own happiness in those things. When that thing is withdrawn from us, or we are made to withdraw from them, we feel unhappiness. So we should identify ourselves with something which is not changing, and that is God alone. The outside thing, whatever happiness we feel, they're really not lying in those things, but in our own self that is reflected there, so long as we are identified with them. So such a soul cries, oh, how beautiful you are, you see. How beautiful, how, what you say, all wisdom. He sees his wisdom in all things, because he becomes a conscious co-worker of the divine plan. He sees it as he is doing, not I. So naturally the question arises from a new man, well, how did you get it to this state? You say it is all beautiful, it is all glory. All outside inside is all his expression, God is light, God is everywhere. He is all wisdom, this and that thing. But how did you attain to this state? What did he do? That's a natural question that would be asked. So for that, we are all, I think, seeking that thing. First thing is, be truthful. Be truthful. If you don't tell lies, you'll change. Deeds of darkness are committed in the dark. You go and want to do it somewhere where nobody sees you. So anything that requires secrecy, that is a sin. Two seekers after God went to a master. The master told him, look here, there are two pigeons. Take them away and kill them someplace where nobody sees you. One was very active, he went around under a shade of a, you see, wall where nobody was seeing, he killed it, came back in a few minutes. The other poor fellow, wherever he went, he did not find anyone, any place where nobody did see. From morn till night, you are going round and round, and return in the evening unsuccessful. Master asked me, "What? Haven't you been able to kill this?" "No, sir."
"Why?
Could you find any place?" "No, sir." "And who was seeing you?" "Tell us, the very pigeon was seeing me." You follow the beauty of the sayings, I tell you, you see. Live up to them. Each of one, you must be an ambassador, I tell you. The man who has got the man body, he has the birthright to become God, I tell you. There is no exaggeration about it. But pity it is, we don't have. For that very purpose, you will find you have been given diaries to maintain. What are they for? Be truthful in mind, word, and deed. Don't make false promises. Don't think otherwise, say otherwise. Let your heart, brain, and mouth agree. What is the criterion of a truth? Truth. Full saying. That all these three, your tongue, what you speak, your intellect, your mind, agree what you got in your heart. Can you do any evil thing? Mind that anything when you do, you are later on asked, "Well, what you are doing?" "And nothing, sir." That's telling lies. When you tell one lie, you have to say other hundreds of lies to cover that lie. How we create our, for our own self more thorns, you see. Who is a truthful man? Ask him any time. He is the same thing. He is not to think what he has to say. And a man who tells lies, you see, "Well, I have told to this man this thing, that man another thing." It's all you are trying to reconcile. But the cat must be out of the bag. You see? Even one thing, if you be truthful, you can change, see? So naturally we want truthfulness, first of all. Not that anybody sees, you see. The God in you sees it. The Master Power within you sees it. So why I tell you, mind, be true to your own self. You are true to your own self, you are true to your God, to your Master. If you are true to your own self, you have to fear none in the world, in the three worlds. This is the first thing required. And further, when some God in man, now I say, where he manifests, he puts you on the way, gives a contact with you, that God power is the true Master, not the Son of Man, mind that resides within you. Can you do any evil or bad thing, even when a child of 5 years is sitting before you? You require secrecy. Our Master used to say, you see, when a child of 5 years is sitting by you, you want secrecy. You are going to do some new thing, you try to revive. When that very God power is within you, watching your every action, you see, how can you do any evil? So fear of that. Once it so happened in my life, you see, generally these controversies do come up. You see? And there was great propaganda against me. Once Master asked me to initiate 250 people in the monthly gathering, you see. And then naturally competition arises and there was great propaganda against me. I kept quiet. Because I was true to my own self. I knew God is within me, Master is within me. And it was so arranged that I could not talk to the Master for so much influential people came up to that. So once my brother, you see, elder brother was there, I told him, "If you go to the Master," he was also initiated. Just by the way, asked me if I any sin I might have committed. But his eyes were giving me support, you see. Well, he asked him, he said, "He had not done anything, even knowingly or unknowingly. But strange enough, so much has passed over his head, and he has never come to me to say that this propaganda is not right, which is being carried on." I never asked any question of him, except two or three in the beginning. So I naturally, after requesting, I want a few minutes. "Oh, yes, yes, you are welcome." But night when everybody was awake, I locked the door, I sat by him, and I told him, Master, I did not come to you. Because I knew you were in me, and you are watching my every action. And the further trend, you also watch. That is why I did not come to you. All the tables were turned. You see? So be truthful, I tell you. This is a very great qualification. We people don't care. We sell the prophet Joseph for the sake of little petty monies. You gamble your, what you say, eternal life with few mundane things. Be truthful. Have fear, he is seeing, he is watching. The two qualifications, you see. And the third thing is, he gives you contact with the world power, you see. How to rise and how to come in contact with the normal world power, the light and sound, which will be regular, day to day. This is the bread of life. Don't miss it. And what will happen? You will have progress day to day, inner peace, inner joy. Whatever outward prayers or performance or rites and rituals will become blessed. Yes. When you say prayer, you'll find me in front of you. When you read scriptures, all of these will be to you. You see? Such life thing you'll find. Naturally, you'll have all peace. Your soul, which is withdrawn from there, coming in contact with the, you see, the God power, which is light and sound principle. The more the our consciousness comes in the all consciousness, the all consciousness, it overflows with joy and peace. All wisdom. God is all wisdom. And masters, you see, never speak at the level of it, like they speak as it comes. And Emerson says, the thoughts which come without thinking, they are always perfect. And what does he do? He loves all. Even the sinners and the others. For sinners, he has got more pity and more love, I tell you. Because he considers he is the child of God. His work is to bring together all children of God together. Now, this is the preparation what you do that thing. But one thing more, he says how you became beloved of God. How the God became beloved of you. You became the beloved of God. How did you, when, take the example of, well, a girl. She has been married. She devoted to her husband, mind and soul. True, you see. She lives according to what he wishes. Result what it is. She loves her husband and her, so husband begins to love her. Whatever she wants or needs, or he sees that he wants it, he gives him, provides him, without asking for it. The lover, I mean, the wife becomes the lover of her husband, and husband becomes the lover of his wife. This is a worldly way, you see. Masters, when they give teaching, they give both ways. So those who love God come in contact with Him. Naturally, those who go at beck and call, count and do not do anything of their own free will, which is earthly. Now he becomes enamored of that. The Master is he loves God, and God loves Master. But Master has no other than God in them, you see. That's only comparative, I mean, a relative statement to show. So the question arises, how you become the beloved of God? Well, naturally, kind of by obeying, just like any female, any girl will do. You see, girl, when she be taught, engaged with some real, truly engaged at heart, all the while she thinks of him, is it not? And that reaction, the heart of the other, that is abiding in him, and he abides in it. So that way that dwells receptivity, you see. And that makes what, you see? The other man does what he does, you see. There's a story in India, you see. There was one student who was called Ghanimat by name. Master fell in love with the student so and so. He could not write calligraphy, good handwriting. He simply scribbled. And the master came so much enamored of him that he began to copy the scribbling. This is the feat of love, I tell you. Love and grace have great power. One saint prays, O God, we have been liberated from the world, all entanglements and bindings. Now you take care of your own self. You are bound more than me. This is to show, you see, what, how can we become the beloved of God? When we obey, that's all. If you love me, keep my commandments. Let my words abide in you, and you abide in me. Only then. We do not even obey the commandments of the Master. If there is no progress, or little progress, or whatever you get and that is lost, who is at fault? Man body is the golden opportunity given to us. Who has got the man body, has got the birthright to know God, I tell you. And we are losing this golden opportunity for nothing, for little sense pleasures. Just know them, you shall see where we stand. Then comes one thing more, you see? Chastity. What the husband expects of his wife? Chastity. She should love him alone. That God has given him, united him as a companion. She should be devoted to her husband. This example of the world. Similarly, a lover of God should be devoted to God and let nothing else come between him and God. Whatever he does, he say, does for the sake of God. Whatever the wife does, or the household affair, without any payment, any obligation, is to win the love of her husband, is it not? This is the gesture of thought, what is what it is. You know, you have been given diary for truthfulness, for love of God, also one adding is there, and love for all. For the sake of God, love. Love God with all thy heart, with all thy strength, with all thy soul, with all thy mind. And love all humanity. You see God in your sons, in your daughters, in your husbands, in your wives. Be true. What is that love that finds love once here and then go to another? That is love is no love that changeth. For the wife to love her husband and to for the love of her husband, she loves every house for hardship in the house. So this is for the love of God, we should love all. He desires in every heart. There is no heart without it. We just be chaste, be devoted to God and God alone and no other. Even if you love your master, for the sake of God in him, mind that. The Son of Man body is blessed, at which that power works, that is also within you as well. But we are after to attain that. This is how you can earn the love of your husband, you see. He will do anything at your beck and call, I tell you. Now the world wise masters have said, so many masters come, they say, Paluna, one Mahatma says, well, these masters are the workers, you see, executive officers in the house of God, you see. Whatever they do, God does not refuse. God does. Their beloved sons. Mahārāja says, if an arrow has been shot down from heaven, master has the power. Who is the master? God in him, mind that. not the main body, has the power to turn away that very arrow from the very middle back. The question arises, is he greater than God? Then no. God loves him. What he does, the God in him does, he accepts. So this is what happens. He says, we are bound, O God, you can liberate us. Who will liberate you? You are bound by the chains, with the silken bonds of love, which are more stronger than chains of iron. So this is how we can read to that. And what the soul realizes that I am the most fortunate. And that God loves him. When the wife thinks, her husband loves him, how happy she feels, I tell you. So such a lover of God, or a wife, I would say now, our true husband is God, of the soul, not the body, I mean, you see. For the body we are our companions. Let our bodies be reserved for them. You see? And what happens, you see? He feels God loves him. When he loves, he does not do anything. Does any lover, any wife, who is convinced at all that husband loves us, how happy she feels. When you feel God loves you, you'll find you will have nothing to say, nothing to pray, when you say. Prayer comes out of the heart of a weak man when he is convinced of his greatness being in the lap of God, and God is for him and he is for God. The soul is for God. She does not pray. Does any wife got married to a husband? Has he ever cared? That's another thing in the West now, they began to take jobs. But in the East, when one is married, she never cares for where the clothing she will have, where she will eat. She says she's married. When you are for him, it is he who is to look after you. So this life, feeling it is. Now, with all that, the further man goes to us, well, what did you get? You have been telling so many things. What experience you had? Then she gives a reference to the experience she had. She said, I saw grandest suns of sun rising within me. God is all light. That light comes when you rise above physical curtain, little. As you rise, shake off shackles, as to corals, that light grows more and more, comparing to billions and trillions of suns and risings. That's a lot. You see? Then what did you feel then? Even then there is some duality. You see the light. Seer and the seen are two. Then we have to take a further step, mind that. There was a great Shankara by name. He says, Oh God, I know there is no difference between you and me. But I am thine, thou art not mine. Because a wave can be of the ocean cannot be of the wave. And when you see light of light, you absorb into that light. You become one with him. This is the ultimate goal. That light of light you absorb, and that light come into the worldless, absorbs in the worldless state, called by any name you like. This is a destination, goal before each one of us. We are fortunate, we have got the main body. How far we have developed, most part of our life has already passed. Fortunately, we have met with the grace of God somewhere where God was manifest, and he put you on the way, gave you some experience to start. Years have passed where we stand, because we have not followed these things that I told you. I am giving you in a nutshell the digest what all the masters gave when they came from time to time. That requires no change of religion, no outward school, rites and rituals. Just rise above body consciousness. Make the best use of the by breath itself, you have God before you. They are all meant for developing love and devotion for God. If you abide by these, then you must take heed that the light which is given within you is not dark. All these words I have been giving to you from time to time in ways, in different ways. This is the digest of all that. I had the good fortune to come over here with the grace of God, met you one and all. I love you all and all. Not of my own part, but the God in me, the Master in me. No obligation. If Father loves his children, it is no obligation, you see. Similarly, I love for you and I wish you have love for God in me and the God in you. And what will be, should be done, do away. And you will promise. The purpose for which the diaries have been given, well, understand fully and live up to them. The more you live, the more progress. Those who have some backgrounds, if they are not obeying these things, the other who is obeying, he might have started afresh, he will go ahead. For most part of our, this man body has already passed, but for the sake of outward enjoyments, we are simply selling Joseph for the sake of money. Thank you. So just think carefully, you see. I have nothing to impose on you. Just appeal to your common sense for your own good and for my pleasure. Why? My Master gave me the God in him this duty. Whether I fail or not fail, it is not my job. I have to do my best. The God in me and you will be helped without asking for it. After a week or so, I will even physically, though not spiritually. This is the best golden opportunity we have had. These 3-4 months, we cannot underrate this physical presence, but you will have the same radiation from thousands of miles. The God is within you. Master is God in man, not the man body. That is already within you. That's all. Just live up to it. You just derive the full benefit of the man body. And you become, as I told you, the beloved of the Master too. Thank you.